السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر، قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, over the past few weeks we have been discussing this verse of the Quran Sharif, and we have related it to the fasting in the month of Ramadan, the charities in the month of Ramadan, the prayers and namazes in the month of Ramadan, and other aspects of ibadat in the month of Ramadan. Somehow there was some connection that we found between this ayat and all the other actions and deeds that we were engaging in the month of Ramadan. Just to recap, that it is discussing the discussion between the people of Jannat and Jahannam, the people that will be going to Jannat, or they will be in the gardens of Jannat. They will be questioning those who will be in the fire of hell, that what is it that led you to this fire? They will say that we were not making our prayers. The first thing is that we were neglecting our prayers. I have explained that as far as the kuffar is concerned, that they are first obliged to accept Islam and Iman, to accept belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they are obliged to make namaz and keep fast and give zakat. So here it is that their punishment will be increased because they did not make the salat. As far as the Muslims are concerned, we know that what position Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given prayers or salat in deen and in Islam. I have discussed that to some extent, inshallah, as I said, we will come back to it. Then the second part of it was that we did not feed the indigent ones. That means when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed them with wealth, when He blessed them with provisions more than their necessities, more than their needs, then from there they should have been giving to the poor, to the needy, to the widows and orphans, and to those that were poverty stricken, those that were destitute. But they did not do that. They said that we did not do that. As I explained in some other bayan, that their philosophy was a very lopsided philosophy. They said that if Allah Ta'ala, who is the provider of rizq and sustenance, if He had wished to provide, then He would have given it to them also. Because your Nabi is claiming that He is the one that provides, He is Razzaq. So if He is Razzaq, then He should have given to the poor and to the needy the same amount of provisions that He gave to us, the same amount of rizq that He gave to us. What is the need for us to now go and give them? This is mentioned in Surah Yasin also. There's no time to go into the details, but this was their philosophy and belief. But in fact it was a mockery. They were just trying to make a joke. They were very sarcastic. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of course punished them for their kind of philosophy. But the lesson in there for us was that Allah Ta'ala provides sometimes sustenance and rizq in abundance to people, and in there puts the share of the poor, the needy, the old, the feeble, the weak, those who cannot go and earn their living and livelihood. There are many hadiths of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outlining this aspect, that how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to people plentiful, or gives to them sufficient, more than their needs, and then in there Allah Ta'ala keeps a share for those who are not able to go and work, not able to earn because of their weakness, because of their sickness, because of their because they have been handicapped. So now Allah Ta'ala puts their share inside there, And then he says, now you give from there. And when the person gives, then Allah Ta'ala multiplies it again. It's a whole wrong philosophy. It's Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system. For if Allah Ta'ala had created everybody equal, and every person had equal wealth and equal belongings, then it would have been chaotic in this universe. It would not have been able to function. So they said that that was our second problem. That also I discussed to some extent, and we went at length. Then it came to that those people who were engaged in the ibtal of deen, or those people who were engaged in trying to uproot deen, or those who were engaged in futile discussions and in which they were always trying to make schemes and plans to find faults and problems with this deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In all these kind of futilities when they engaged, they said that that was one of the problems. That also I explained to some extent. Now we come to the last part of it, where they say, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And then he says, we were those of those who rejected the deen. Now what is the deen here? بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Here it means the day of judgment. That we rejected this day of judgment. When people came and spoke to us, when the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam explained to them, when Rasul Paak sallam spoke to them about the day of judgment, then they rejected this. They found it not suitable to believe in, or they found it not something that is logical and rational. In fact, this was the biggest and the major problem that all the kuffar had, and even in our time they have, that after you turn to dust, how can you be given life again? This is the biggest problem. They say a person has turned to dust, he has turned to dust. How can he come back to life again? In fact, this is also mentioned in Surah Qaf, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that Qaf wal Quran al Majid bal ajibu an ja'ahum munzirum minhum faqala al kafiruna haza shay'un ajib a idha mitna wa kunna turaban zalika raj'un ba'id. So this was their major problem, that once you have turned to dust, then there is no question of life again. Whereas if you have to look at the life of man, then he was non-existent. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that brought him into existence. Just from a drop of sperm, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created such a huge man. The person had got everything, all his faculties, Allah ta'ala gave it to him in the stomach of the mother. In such a place where there was nothing but darkness, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided for him sight and hearing and speech and heart and liver and lungs, and everything was programmed. As I mentioned in one of the Ramadan majlises here, I said that if only man had to do the programming after the conception, after the woman had conceived, now if man had to say that we have got scientific knowledge and we've got computers now, we can sit and we can program that this plane will fly at such a speed, even without a pilot it can fly and it can drop bombs strategically and everything else it can do. So we will now program everything, because now we have got so much of scientific knowledge. So if they had to do the programming of the child in the mother's stomach, then they would have made so much of mistakes that sometimes they would have missed out one eye, sometimes the one ear, sometimes they would have mixed up all the connections between the heart, liver and lungs. And in the programming, because man is going to do the programming, so therefore there would have been so much of errors and mistakes that we would have had so many deformed babies in this world. And in fact, as if we have to look at it, that even our fingernails, just imagine if the fingernails, from where did it grow? Why did it come at the tips of our fingers? What if our programming, we made mistakes and those fingernails grew over the eyes, and the people were now having nails over their eyes? What should have happened? It is all Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qudrat. So that Allah Ta'ala who brought man into existence for the first time, cannot he bring the person back to life again? It is always difficult to do it the first time. It is not difficult to bring to carry on after that producing. In factories and in all other industries we know that to come up with the product the first time, that requires a lot of effort. After that it is programmed and it goes on. So that Allah Ta'ala who brought the person into existence the first time, from dust also. Because if you have to look at all the things that went into the formation of the sperm in the father's system, what was it? It was again the food that he ate, the milk that he may have drank, the fruits of the trees that he has ate. So he was scattered everywhere. And Allah Tabaraka, it was scattered everywhere. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made this person eat that food, and after it turned to blood, and then to sperm, and the whole process that follows after that. So they said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. This was something that they rejected, that there is a day of judgment. And the lesson in there is for us, that we too outwardly we say that we believe in the day of judgment. But if only we had believed in the day of judgment, and it was not just a knowledge of the day of judgment, then there would have been a world of difference in our actions and in our deeds. The person who sincerely believes that there is a day of judgment, in this world we can escape the sight of the police, we can escape the sight of our parents, our family members, we can escape the sight of our neighbors and our children, but we cannot escape the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the person who has got this yaqeen and faith that there is a day of judgment, so then the person is not going to be doing those things which he is doing which is haram, because the person knows that if I escape here, there is still a day of judgment, I am accountable, Allah Ta'ala will question me and after that he will punish me. So this is something that makes the person restrain himself from haram. All the fraud and all the corruption and all the stealing and all the sins that are taking place in this world, it is because the person hasn't got that conviction that there is a day of judgment. If the person has got that conviction that there is a day of judgment, then it will be a means of restraining him from all that is haram. So they also said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ حَتَّى أَتَانَ الْيَقِينَ, until our death came. This yaqeen also in another place of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, and worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala until death comes to you. Now lots of people, lots of us, we say, how long are we going to go on with this namaz and with this roza and with this zakat and with this fasting and making hajj and staying away from gambling and staying away from adultery and fornication and staying away from all the other sins? How long must we carry on? How long must we restrain ourselves? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made that very clear, that hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَعْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ, until death comes to you, until your last breath, you have to go on worshipping Allah, obeying Allah, practicing on Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It is not just a temporary practice. Now this is the lesson, that the month of Ramadan, in which we practice to some extent, we made our namazes, we kept our fast, we stayed away from some considerable amount of haram, although even in the month of Ramadan the factories of sin were still open, but still to some extent we found the masajid full, we found the people engaged in some tilawat of the Quran Sharif, in some zikr, in some dua, in some istighfar and in some tawbah. Now all this that they engaged in, it was not a temporary thing. Islam is not a mazhab and a deen and a way of life in which there is temporary ibadat, that we go on a Sunday and make some prayers at a church and it's all over, or once a month or once a year we congregate and it is all over. It is a way of life. It is the 24-hour day that the person has to spend in accordance with Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam instructions and orders. And in fact, when the person starts making it sincerely, the reason why we find it difficult, that years and years go by in our lives, and still we find it difficult to make namaz, we find it difficult to make tilawat, we find it difficult to stay away from haram. The reason for that is that we have not truly and sincerely believed in Allah Ta'ala in the day of judgment. We do not have that love for Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we should be having. For if we have true love for Allah and His Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam in our hearts, then we will not consider these things as some kind of imposition upon us, some kind of mountain upon our shoulders, some kind of great burden on us, that we have to carry on making namaz. How long are we going to make namaz? But if that person looks at the namaz as a mi'raj of his, if he looks at it as something that connects him with his Allah Ta'ala, if he looks at it as something that is giving him the nur and the barakat and the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in his heart, and if he looks at it as one great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala said, that when I go into sajda, isse mujhe aisa maloom hota hai jaise Allah Ta'ala ne mera pyar le liya. Now that person who is looking forward to that sajda, then he will not consider it as a burden. Then he will say, when do I have to go for the next sajda? When do I have to go for the next salat? Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that on the day of Qiyamah, those people who will be given shade under the throne, when there will be no other shade, amongst the categories that he has listed, one is that person whose heart is attached to the masjid. Now what does that mean? That means that this person is not going to divorce himself from all worldly activities. It means that he is not going to close his business, he is not going to go away onto the mountain tops, or go away to some seashore, or the person is going to go away into some jungle. Nothing. He will lead a perfectly normal, balanced life. a life in which there's going to be ibadat, there's going to be the proper muamalat, and his muasharat will be right. He will marry, he will upbring his children, he will educate his children, he will conduct his business, he will be cheerful, he will talk pleasantly with his family. There will be everything normal in his life. But his heart is attached to the masjid, meaning that when he goes out from the masjid to the shop and to the business office, his heart is still there. That when do I have to get back to the masjid? When is the next namaz time? So now he's looking forward to it. So lots of things start off as a habit. The person starts off first, it becomes a habit. In the first place, sometimes it is riya and it is show. It starts off with show that the person started off making some ibadat. Then after that it becomes a habit, and from habit then it goes on to ikhlas. So the person, when he is making namaz for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, then it means that by now he should have been looking forward to salat. He should not regard it anymore as a burden. So it's not going to be difficult. The person who is used to jogging every morning, come rain, come winds, come sun or come storm, but the person is on the road, is jogging couple kilometers. Now he looks forward to it. This is enjoyment. It is his pleasure. Now when this person is looking forward to it and it is his pleasure, then he is not concerned about the weather condition also, because he is enjoying it. In the same way, this person who will get connected with Allah Ta'ala, he will bring the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart. The ma'rifat of Allah he will gain, the ma'rifat of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then there will be a kind of an enjoyment and a pleasure. He is going to look forward to it. What is it that gets the people up late night or early part of the morning for tahajjud? It's not farz. What is it that the person gets up at that part of the morning and he's got his forehead on the ground and he's shedding tears of repentance and he's enjoying some kind of ecstasy and he's on a different level? What is it? It is that love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that makes this person. Allah ta'ala has got two rights. One is the right of his azmat and the other is the right of his muhabbat. The right of his azmat is this, that the person must stay away from haram. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when on one occasion he told to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, from amongst the five things, there's no time to go into the details, and he told him, ittaqil maharim takun a'badan nas, that if you stay away from the haram, then you will be the one who is the greatest worshipper. Out of all the worshippers, you will be the highest in stage as far as worship is concerned. Why? Because you are staying away from haram. So this restraining from haram, then that makes the person abadan nas, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. But that is the right of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azmat, his greatness, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's greatness, that is his right, that we stay away from everything that he has declared as forbidden and haram. And then it is the right of his muhabbat, now that the person makes nafil salat, he gives charities, and he engages himself in zikr and in tilawat and so many other optional ibadat. Now that is the right of his muhabbat. Now this person, when he's got both in his life, he's got azmat also and muhabbat also, then he will lead a very, very beautiful life in this world. فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. Then Allah Ta'ala will give them a very, very pleasant life on this earth. But if he turns himself away, if he turns himself away from the remembrance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he engages in haram, and he shows no concern for the deen and for sharia and for the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ظَنْكًا. Then Allah Ta'ala will make that person's life very straitened, very narrowed and very miserable, because this person has turned away. So what I am saying is this, that when these people said, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ, that we rejected the day of judgment, حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينِ, until death came upon us, we were rejecting it, and they passed away in that condition that they were rejecting the deen. They said, this is what? The day of judgment they were rejecting, said, this is what led us to the fire of Jahannam. Now we have to see in our lives that after this month of Ramadan now, how much of our yaqeen has built up in the day of judgment? How much of our yaqeen has built up that Allah Ta'ala is watching, Allah is observing, Allah is all seeing, all hearing, all knowing? In the month of Ramadan we were so firm, as I mentioned last week, that we were so firm that we were not prepared to open our roza 2 minutes before iftar time. We were so strong in our iman that we were not prepared to open our fast 2 minutes before iftar time. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's hukam. So in the same way, as far as this day of judgment is concerned, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned it so many places in the Holy Quran Sharif. Ayats and ayats, verses and verses on Jannat and Jahannam you will find in the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his ahadith, in the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much of hadiths have been mentioned about Jannat and Jahannam, about the Day of Judgment. If we read those hadiths only, it puts a shiver in our spines. And look at all the ayats that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got in the Quran Sharif about the Day of Judgment. So where is that yaqeen in it? That is what we have to look at. That now when we go outside the masjid from here, then do we still have that yaqeen? Just as we will be making our namaz now, that Allah ta'ala is watching us, and Allah ta'ala has got certain way, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam showed us a certain pattern of making our salat, so we are going to make our salat in that particular pattern. All of us will be facing the Qibla. Now where did we get that information that we must face the Qibla and make namaz? What if somebody said, but I like to face my mother-in-law's outside and make namaz? Or somebody likes to face his factory and his industry where he's got a multi-million dollar industry, say, I like to face that side and make namaz. We all face the Qibla direction. Where did it come from? It came from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It came from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam. So in our namaz, we are going into ruku, we are going into sajda, we are doing everything according to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's instruction. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So therefore we are making it like that. So in the same way, all our other actions and deeds, it must reflect that we have got that kind of yaqeen on this Day of Judgment. Accidental sins, I have always said, we are human beings. We are bound to make a mistake, we are bound to err, we are bound to slip. But how many times I have said that if a person slips and he falls in the gutter, what must he do? Must he remain in the gutter there? Must he say that I am enjoying this filthy, dirty water which is entering my nostrils and entering my ears and entering my throat? We'll say that this person is mad if he says he's enjoying that filthy, dirty gutter water that is flowing there. If he slipped and fell, get up quickly, rush to the bathroom, have a shower, change your clothes, apply ether and perfume, and smell sweet again. That is what the sensible person must do. So accidental sin the person can commit, but not planned sins. The moment Ramadan finished, already people have got planned sins. I will be going to the casino. I will be going to that certain film. In fact, my ticket is booked already for the front row. I will be going to that haram prostitute quarters. I will be going there and I will be going there. If you have to look at the pockets of our brothers and of our sisters, then you will find so many chips from the casino, or you will find cinema tickets, or you will find all the theater tickets, and you will find so many other filthy and haram planning that has taken place. Now that is not the mizaj of a mu'min. This Ramadan, as I mentioned in the Eidgah also, it makes the mizaj of a mu'min. It made us become practical. That now it became our mizaj, that it became our nature. Second nature it came, that we stay away from haram, because in the month of Ramadan we have been trained so well that we were not going even to halal food, drink and carnal passions, because Allah Ta'ala was watching, Allah was seeing, Allah was hearing. Therefore we stayed away from all that, even though nobody was watching us in the privacy of our homes and rooms, but yet we stayed away from that. So now in the after the Ramadan, we should be even more strong and solid. And I conclude very, very quickly again on that example that I gave last night, that this month of Ramadan was given to us to remove all the dents that have come onto our spiritual bodies, all the different kinds of dents, the dent of pride, the dent of arrogance, the dent of jealousy and malice and greed and evil passions and desires, and all so many dents were on our bodies. So just as that person takes his car and he gives it to the panel beater to remove all the dents, which met with an accident. So the panel beater removes all the dents and gives it to him in showroom condition. Now when the car is given back in showroom condition, what must the sensible person do? He must drive the car carefully on the road, and he must not go and purposely make another accident. But if this person takes the car out from the showroom and now he goes and smashes it again, why? Because there is a panel beater next door. Then we will say that something is wrong with this person. So now these dents which we had removed in the month of Ramadan, now we must not go back to those sins again. Those cinemas, those theaters, those films and movies and all the filth that we had left in the month of Ramadan, now don't bring those dents back onto the heart. Then see what kind of life Allah Ta'ala gives. Why don't we want to taste that sweetness of Iman in our hearts? That Allah who can put sweetness of sugar into that sugarcane stick, which would sell at the price of bamboo sticks if there was no sweetness in it. If he can put sweetness into wood, if he can put sweetness into bamboo sticks, then cannot that Allah Ta'ala put sweetness into our hearts? There is a sweetness in Iman, but that comes when we become practical Muslims. How long are we going to remain in that filthy lifestyle? It is not going to take us anywhere. It's going to bring our misery in our lives. It's going to bring restlessness, anxiety, and so much of problems and so much of problems that if there was time, there was another hadith that comes to mind, but inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life and an opportunity, then we will continue with this ayat and an explanation. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala restrain us from all that is haram and forbidden. And we must make a lot of dua that Allah Ta'ala assist and help the mujahideen of Islam in Palestine, in Kashmir, and especially in Afghanistan, where bombs have been raining upon them day and night. But still, Allah Ta'ala has kept the Taliban army and military firm and intact. Now Allah Ta'ala must give them victory, Allah Ta'ala must give them dominance, and Allah Ta'ala must establish His deen again on this earth. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.